Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and thank you for tuning in to our Thursday night programming of Totally Driven Radio. Heh, but why wouldn't you tune into the greatest show heard all around the world?
And happy Totally Driven Thursday. Bay Ragney here. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We got a little special show for you. We're actually, in case you didn't know, we are still pre-taped this week. We'll be returning to our live shows on Thursday night in September. I think the date is September 6th, as a matter of fact. So you got like 3 weeks, and then we'll be back. After Labor Day, we'll be back live. But we got shows for you. I got shows for you here. I got interviews for you. And this is a big one. I know there's a ton of you American Horror Story fans tuning in tonight, and they want to hear the one and only Pepper, or as she's really known, Naomi Grossman. We're going to be talking about some American Horror Story. We're going to also be talking about her Emmy nomination. She's actually nominated for a Nami. Emmy nominated for a short, which is called Control-Alt-Delete, and there it's this little like comedy, and it's like a 3-minute long episode. You can check it out. It's just Control-Alt-Delete, and I think it's Control-Alt-Delete the show. But they're on Facebook, they're on Twitter. You can go to their website, you can see all the episodes, you can see all the episodes right on their Facebook page, and it's really funny. And Naomi plays a hysterical character, and this whole comedy that they do is all based around abortion, and it takes place in an abortion clinic. So if you want to be one of them people who, you know, with the whole abortion thing, and this might not be for you, but if you want to laugh, then this is for you. So check it out. So listen to Naomi's interview, get more details about it, make your decision, and then go check it out. That's what I think you should do. And then on the flip side, we have another interview tape for you. His name is Miles Tagmeier, and he is also Emmy-nominated for a short. And he was involved. He was also the executive producer of what's called as Broken. And it's kind of a thriller drama. And these episodes are 6 to 8 minutes long. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there were six. So you can sit and watch the whole story in under an hour. And it's really good. And Miles does a tremendous job. I see big things in his future. I really do. An amazing amazing actor. Fun interview. Good dude. And, yeah, so check that out. And that's called Broken the Series. And you can watch all the episodes right on their website. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Let's do the interview with Naomi first. So here she is. You might know her as Pepper, but she's really Naomi Grossman. Check her out. Is this the Naomi-nominated Emmy person, Miss Naomi Grossman?
That's exactly it. And that's how I
how about that?
The phone.
How you doing?
You?
I'm good.
I'm
not as good as you. That's awesome. That is awesome. So can I tell you, like, real quick, like, so when I got the email last week to do the interview with you, I'm like, Naomi Grossman? I'm like, okay. And I see the picture of not the character from American Horror Story. So I'm like, okay, yeah. And then I go, and of course I hit Google. I'm like, oh, no. Can I tell you how much Piper freaked me the hell out?
But that's okay. But no, it's just Piper's Orange is the New Black, Pepper's, you know. Or maybe it's your accent. I don't know, 718. You sound like you're in New York.
Philly, actually.
Philly, my bad. Is she scared of you, though?
Oh, my God, yeah. Freak me out.
Aw. She's harmless. Did you watch it in its entirety?
I did not. Like, honestly, like,
I don't mean to put you on the spot and, like, quiz you, but I would say people that just watch, like, the brief, like, that first episode or just skip it, yes, it was a little scary. But if you really got to watch it, you actually learned that I'm, like, the only good guy, like, in the entire anthology.
What was her name? She actually did our show a couple years ago. Jody M. Gay. Working with her.
I mean, yeah, you're right. She did your show?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just
with a translator.
Because she
first interview we did with a translator.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I mean, she's really hard to understand, even if you speak Hindi. Just because, you know, she speaks, like, in octaves that only, you know, dogs can hear. But, I mean, I'm making jokes, of course. She's, like, a friend of mine, obviously. I remember somebody, a friend of mine in post, actually said, you know, can you please go back to the script and tell us, like, what that little girl's saying? Because we legit, like, cannot, we're trying to edit this thing, and we cannot tell what she's saying. Actually, it was a big joke. I don't know if you're recording all this, and you may need to edit this part out because it includes a nasty word. But there was a line that one of the lines was, "Miss Elsa, a man with a big car came and bought out the whole show." And the way she said it, it sounded like, "A man with a big car came." Get it? Anyway, it was endlessly funny to us because she, like, no matter which take they used, it sounded like she said that a man with a big cock came. And I mean, let's face it, they all have big cocks for her.
Oh, that's all wrong. That's so wrong. It's funny because a buddy of mine was actually down, he was at a Comic-Con in Florida a couple weeks ago, and he sent me a picture. He's like, I was walking by the table, and they had her up on the table, and I thought it was a doll.
Well, yeah. I mean, she looks like a doll. Yeah. And she has to stand on the table. She can't. If you put her on a chair, you won't see her.
I guess
it's
pretty
surreal. In fact, the stand-ins on set, they would have a huge mop, like a giant broom for Amazon Eve. And they did. They had, like, a little, you know, Cabbage Patch Kid for Jyoti. And then for me, they had Emma Roberts' stand-in. Just to give you an idea of how tall we all are.
So one thing I found out about you, too, was actually one of your early goals was to be on Saturday Night Live.
Yes. I'm still recovering from that.
Still recovering.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I had to let that go a little. It was getting unhealthy. But listen, I do believe that it's kind of too late for me in many ways, only because when I do watch the show, like, it's all 20-year-olds. And then my friend, Mikey Day. Jeez, don't you hate that when you're like, my friend, and then all of a sudden, like, their name is gone, and then you sound like an idiot who doesn't have friends. But anyway, yeah. but yeah, it's all 20-year-olds and Mikey. So I do believe that ship may have sailed, but I'm not ruling out coming in a host one day, you know?
There you go. I was going to say that. Now you should, like, strive to be the host.
Yeah, of course. So yeah,
that
that's
cool.
That's the new plan.
That. So this whole Control Alt Delete, like, so I sat and watched it last night. And of course,
really,
probably my
season?
Initial reaction. What's that?
You watched the whole season?
I did. I did.
Not that it's a huge deal. I mean, it's a short. It's short. So. Okay. So, what do you think? What do you say?
When you were approached to do this, like, didn't you think to yourself, like, oh boy, like this could be a lot of fun, but this is going to be so dangerous. We're going to piss a lot of people off.
Oh, I never worry about that. No. I mean, that excites me. That actually makes me want to do it. I mean, as long as it's in keeping with my ideology, you know, I think, I mean, I personally don't think it's all that controversial. I think women should have rights, reproductive rights, and I don't believe the government should be meddling in that. So in that regard, I don't actually think it's controversial at all. But yeah, as far as like things I've done, like I don't, you know, before American Horror Story, I was doing, you know, these insane YouTube videos, but you know, I was like hiding cucumbers in my pants and walking through TSA line. You know what I mean? Like, so. I, you know, I've been kind of like pushing the envelope and trying to, you know, I've been at this for a while. So this is, you know, this is scripted. This is this is nothing by comparison.
I mean, I cringe. I was like, oh boy, this is going to be interesting. But it's, I mean, it's not actually controversial as you watch it than your initial probably reaction that people would think like, oh my God, an abortion comedy. People were instantly, I was reading the Facebook comments. I was like, oh boy, here they come. Like,
yeah.
The haters are
out.
Well,
I think that's the point. I think that's the point is to kind of normalize the conversation, like, this is a place, and it exists. Like, let's face it, there's workplace comedies all over television, from, you know, The Office to Cheers. You know, why not an abortion clinic? It's a place we haven't seen, and it's ripe with stories, right? And in a way, I personally think it lends itself to best kinds of stories, and those are ones that are sad and funny. I mean, like my personal favorite show, for example, is, well, there's a few, but you know, Orange Is New Black or Transparent, where, you know, it really kind of dances the line between comedy and drama. And I think they've done a really good job of doing this. I mean, it is a workplace comedy. I mean, it is a abortion comedy. But, you know, it deals with serious subjects, and it makes them accessible to people that wouldn't, you know, normally go there.
Right.
Literally and physically. I mean, that's the point. Like, I don't know if you watched the episode with the woman who was like, I would never do this. But, you know, sometimes when you've had 5 kids already and you're 40 years old, maybe, you know, maybe you're done. I don't know. Listen, I'm talking out of my – I should shut up. I am speaking as a woman that does believe in the right to choose. That said, this is not really my axe grind. Like, this is not like, I'm not on some crusade with this film or this series by any means. I'll be honest, I'm just an actress. I was approached with the role. I thought, I mean, she seemed like a character, and that's what attracted me. Not the subject matter, not, you know, the story. I mean, I thought, quite honestly, I'm going to be totally honest, I thought if this, it is just edgy enough and I thought maybe, you know, a Netflix or a Hulu or one of these new platforms that are, you know, going out of their way to put out kind of interesting new kind of cutting-edge content would maybe pick this up. And as the, you know, series regular, you know, resident regular at the clinic, I would find my way into a, you know, weasel my way into a nice plush series regular role. That was, quite honestly, that was my plan. That's why I signed on. I never thought that there would be an Emmy nomination in it for me. But, hey, I'll take it.
Yeah, right. Like, now, how does that happen? Like,
yeah.
How does the how do you get told that you're nominated for an Emmy? Like, do you get a phone call, an email, and what's the initial reaction?
There's so basically, I knew that it was coming up. I am a member of the Television Academy, so even I can vote. I can't vote for myself, unfortunately. I tried yesterday, but so I did know that the date was approaching and that they would be basically streaming it live. So a couple other kids that I know that were also all up for consideration, they gathered, and it happened at like 8 in the morning. So, you know, there was mimosa flowing, and I figured, you know what, if I wake up in time, I'll go. Why not? And I did. So I, you know, in my yoga pants and baseball hat, stumbled out to, I don't know, somebody's home, and we watched this, and boy, I did not come prepared to get my photo taken, let's just say. I did not see this coming at all. It's one of those things that you just, it's kind of like the last thing I mean, I really wanted it for Pepper, I'm not going to lie. And I thought, you know, that was, I mean, not, you know, let's face it, that show is Emmy lauded. Every year after year. So if anything, I thought maybe that I had a chance with that. And when that didn't happen, I kind of was like, oh, no. Again, the universe loves to, you know, play surprises. So I just figured it was like another SNL thing. Like, oh, okay, no. Not in this life. But who knew? Maybe.
And that's,
life,
I mean, that's
really
going to throw you for a loop,
know.
Though. I mean, you're thinking Pepper would have gotten you a nomination at some point, and then here this does. So it's kind of like a real head-scratcher at times, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Leo DiCaprio should have gotten it for Wolf of Wall Street and for The Aviator and for, like, everything else he's ever done. And then he got it for The Revenant. Like, okay. So listen, if they want to give it to me for Pepper 2-3 years later, I'll take it.
There you go.
I'm kidding. I just think it's cool that this. I think it's cool that the Academy is kind of ahead of the curve. I mean, let's face it, the Television Academy is sort of known for being like a bunch of really stodgy old white men, and the fact that they're acknowledging short form series, that's pretty innovative. I mean, let's face it, like, the internet is the future. Like, that is what the kids care about anyway. So, you know, that's pretty awesome. And the fact that, you know, they're acknowledging, like you said, this comedy that might not get any kind of traction anywhere else. You know, it's a subject matter that, you know, folks don't want to touch.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's
now,
great.
Is there going to be a season 2, or?
There is. In fact, they're crowdfunding now. They're making a ton of money. They're surprising me anyway. I mean, people want to see this series happen, and I'm sure a lot of them are, you know, reproductive rights and, you know, special interest groups that are like, yes, support art that, you know, furthers our cause. I think that's great. So, yes, there will be a season 2, and it sounds like it's going to have a much bigger budget, which is great.
Oh, wow.
Maybe they're looking for their actors. I'm being paid an Emmy nomination right now, so, you know. If they're listening.
Has that started your phone ringing some more?
The Emmy nomination?
Yeah.
Yes and no. I mean, maybe not the phone ringing per se, but when it does ring, you know, they say, "Is this the Emmy nominated Naomi Grossman?" I mean, it's. I think you know, it's something that I can always kind of add to my resume. I'll always have that to throw around,
right.
And that's nice. It's put me in a really good mood for the last, you know, 3 weeks, and that says something. You know, let's face it, like, you get what you put out, and I'm putting out some pretty good vibes right now. So, yes, I do, I anticipate my phone ringing.
So do her. I. So do I.
Yes. Well,
so
you called, so here we are. I stand corrected.
See that? So yep. I have a couple of fan questions for you, if you don't mind as well.
Sure.
Okay. So from Jamie, a huge fan, she wanted to know about, were you afraid of actually possible backlash for playing Pepper with a character with disabilities? And did you do, like, Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Did I really fear? Did I really do research? Both. Yeah, I was very nervous about it because, I mean, let's face it, this is a real affliction. And I, prior to this, had done primarily comedy, sketch comedy, big, bold, big, broad, character-driven comedy, in which I was mostly making fun, not of people, disabled people, specifically at all, obviously, but just people in general, like, just that was my thing, was sort of like SNL level, you know, where you're going
right.
So over the top that it's hard not to, you know, appear like you're making fun. And this was, you know, definitely not that. And so I needed to kind of go back to my roots and, like, go back to my real, you know, acting chops back at Northwestern University and, you know, find some stillness and some subtlety and some realness. That I'd sort of, like, go by the wayside in my, you know, sketch comedy days. I worried a lot about that. Woke up in sweats, worrying about, you know, the hate mail I might get, blah, blah, blah. It's actually been quite the opposite. Those same groups that I expected to, you know, call me out, quite the opposite. They invite me to their schools, and I come and I speak. And, I mean, for the most part, I've had nothing but a overwhelmingly positive reception for her, which is great.
That's awesome.
There was one instance that was not so positive, and it literally was, they didn't, it was their bad. I mean, that's my take on it, but they basically, they thought I was disabled. So when I got off the plane, they were upset about me being able-bodied. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, you should Google before you, you know, sign a contract and commit your, you know, a budget to a thing. Like, that's common sense. And so the fact that they waited until I got there to, you know, basically protest my appearance. I mean, that's really dumb. Like, Google first. Just don't invite. I wasn't trying to come there. Like, I just stayed home. I got a nice pool, you know? I got a full bar. Like, I don't need to be there. But oh well. It's okay. It's all part of the story, right?
Absolutely.
I honestly embrace it all. I embrace the good and the bad, because even the bad, like, I can, you know, I got a story out of it.
You'll have stories to tell forever now.
Oh, yeah. You're finding that out. You're like, wait a minute. This is supposed to be a 20-minute interview. I'll be here all day with this chick.
She also wanted to know real quick, how long in the makeup chair to get into the character?
That was about a 2.5 to 3 hour process. Usually it was like two guys sort of feverishly working on me the whole time. They would split me down the middle and, you know, apply my fake brow, nose, ears. They'd obviously shave my head and apply a piece. I had a fake lens, some fake teeth, fake arms. In the case of the Freak Orgy, if you recall, in the first episode of Freak Show, they actually had to apply a fake chest as well. I basically appeared naked. And that took a full 6 hours that day.
Holy cow.
But it looked great. Like, I remember one day, that day, walking out on set, like, with nothing but my, like, fake chest and diaper, and one of the producers panicking, get Pepper a robe! Pepper needs a robe! And, of course, I'm like, I'm not naked. Like, I am dressed way more than to go to the beach, you know? So, I'm wearing more clothes than I normally do, you know? It's July in New Orleans, like, please.
Or when you were doing naked bike riding. How about that?
Oh, yeah, there you go. See, so I'm just a nudist.
So, all right, I got one more question.
I am very comfortable with myself, and I guess what I appreciate about all that is it's all just about, you know, the celebration of being free and, you know, nature, and there's nothing like lewd or nasty about it. If it were, I wouldn't want any part of it. I mean, come on. You know, this Me Too age, like, that's the last thing I'd want to sign up for.
One more fan question, and I'll let you go. This one's from Jessie. First off, she says, you're amazing. And she wants to know, Do you want to do more horror genre roles, or do you want to branch out into other genres?
I mean, I just want to work. I think that's what how most actors would answer. Genre has been really good for me. So, yes, of course I do. But I would love to branch out. I'd love to be – I want to do it all, you know. I think for the longest time I did sort of figure, you know, you got to get a gimmick. And this business is just so hard that – if you can just find your little niche, then maybe you can break your way in. And so that's why I kind of really zeroed in on sketch comedy and you know, character stuff specifically. I'm glad I did ultimately, because let's face it, I mean, Pepper is the ultimate character. But at the same time, I also do feel that I kind of I was limiting myself. You know, I'm a serious actress, and I wasn't giving myself that respect. So, yes, I would love to. I'd love to do it all. You know, at the end of the day, I just want to work. So I'm hardly going to, you know, bite the hand that feeds me. You know, if horror and, you know, genre stuff is what's coming at me, I'm going to take it. If it's comedy, if it's drama, great. I guess I just don't feel like I'm at a position right now to be picking and choosing. I mean, that would be great. I think people have this false perception that actors are just sort of sitting by their pools, reading scripts and saying, no, I don't see myself like that. Like, I think there's maybe, like, maybe Amy Adams does that. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
or
right.
Her people do that for her. But I think for the most part, we're just excited to work. I mean, we're kind of, we're like the ultimate temps. You know, like, where do I go today? So, yeah. We're just happy to have a job.
I hear that.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's the truth, though. When you know, some years you work, and then some days you don't. Some years you don't work at all. So, you know, the IRS does not know what to do with me. So if anyone's listening that works for the government, like for the IRS, like, please get in touch. We need to talk.
Oh, that's all wrong. That's so wrong. That's more wrong than the abortion comedy.
Is it? I mean, again, I have no filter or sense of what's wrong and what's right anymore. I just know I've been audited for 2 years now. They think I'm a hobbyist. I'm here to tell you I'm not. I'm nominated for Emmy. I'm real. I'm here to stay. This is not my hobby. That's the end. Nothing
the
really
end.
Wrong
back,
about
yep.
it. Straight dope. Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, so where should we send everybody to get in touch with you, follow you, like you, love you, subscribe to you, and all that stuff, and to find out more about Control,
yep.
Alt-Delete?
Correct. My handle is @NaomiWGrossman across all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. My website is NaomiGrossman.net. And, yeah, you should be able to find me anywhere there.
Awesome.
And
well, Naomi,
Control Delete is actually on Facebook. So if they go to, like, you know, facebook.com/ Control Alt Delete, CTRL Alt Delete, it'll pop right up. Or even in your little bar where you go to, like, stop people, if you just write Control Alt Delete, again, it'll come right up. And they can watch, you can watch their, either full episodes, full season, or just highlights of me. I think there's like a 3-minute reel, which I've also just put up on YouTube. So even if you put like highlights, Naomi Grossman, Control Delete, you'll see that too.
Awesome. Well, good luck with the Emmy nomination. Hopefully you'll bring it home and get more work. Stop making it a hobby.
Yeah, right? Come on. Get to work.
Get to work. There you go. Naomi, thanks so much, and good luck with everything. Congrats again.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, welcome back. Tujan Rio Bayragni here. There you go. There was Naomi Grossman. Check her out. She's on social media. Check out Control, Alt, Delete. It's funny. It is. You just got to, like, sometimes you got to step outside the box and enjoy the humor, because that's what it is. It's humor. Laugh. People need to laugh. So, all right, let's not stop the show. Let's keep it going. Let's do this. Mr. Miles Tagmire from Broken the Series. And there he is, Mr. Miles Tagmire.
Hey, Bay, how's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing really well, really well. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing good, but I'm not Emmy nominated, so I think you got me beat.
Yeah, maybe.
you inched me out a little bit.
Yeah.
So you got to be pretty. What are you more? Are you more shocked or excited by the whole Emmy nomination?
I think it's a mix of both. I think when we found out about this category, I mean, it gave us something to go for after we submitted our series, and then we really campaigned for it. And my director and co-executive producer Kylie Malesnik and I, we went to 55 four-year consideration events in under 2 months, and we really just did a grassroots campaign. Okay, so let me go back. My director and co-executive producer, Kylie Malesnik, and I, we went to 55 Furry Consideration events in under 2 months, and we really just were spreading the word about Broken, and we were spreading the word about us and our series and what we were doing. And so that was the intention. But then, of course, when the submission came out with the first round of voting in the short form category, there were a lot of named actors, and then there were also a lot of named series. And so our show kind of got lost in the shuffle just amongst like Grey's Anatomy and The Walking Dead and James Corden. And so there were bigger things that just had more of a fan base. And
sure.
But we got two of our three nominations. We got two out of the three. So we submitted for Outstanding Short Form Comedy Drama Series, which we did not get. But then the other two that we did get were Outstanding Actor in a Short-Form Comedy or Drama Series, which is myself. And then we also got Outstanding Actress in a Short-Form Comedy or Drama Series with Lee Garlington. And we are the only short-form series to receive two actor nominations in both actor and actress categories. So I think that says something. So people
awesome.
Actually watched our stuff, and they actually recognized that we did good work. And that is amazing in itself, because now I finally understand what people say when they get up on stage and accept awards, and they always go, "Oh, thank you to the Academy." I didn't really understand what that meant, but I totally get it, and I am totally grateful for everyone that I met there who voted for us.
You know, I think you really just, too, like, really touched on where people, I don't think people realize, too, like, how much work, not only, you know, doing the role and the whole process of making the you know, the, whatever, it's a show or a short form or movie, whatever a person's doing, but the whole campaigning for it, too. Like, people don't realize that's a whole part of it, too.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, we're still going with that, too. So it's a long, long time. We started this process back in May of 2017 with the ideas of creating our own content, doing something that was meaningful. And we settled on the topic of mental health and mental illness, because they're two very different things and the stigma surrounding it. And so we wanted
sure.
to create a conversation, open the dialogue surrounding mental health. So that's when it started. And then we were in pre-production up through December, shot in January for 9 days, and then got it right in post in February, and then up online in April. But we started going to these FYC events, or four-year consideration events, in early March. And they started very, very early this year. So before our series was even online, we were already out there. We were already talking to people. We didn't have business cards. That's how long ago it was. Like, we didn't have
wow.
time. And then, yeah, we just started. And then once it was online and once we got our business cards, that's when we were able to be like, oh, look at us. Like, now you can actually go watch it. But the process didn't end. That went from March through, I think it was June 12th around there is when voting started initially. And so then for the next 2 weeks, from June 12th to the 26th, let's say, that's when people voted for narrowing the pool down from all the submissions to the five or six potential nominees. And during that time period, we were still doing stuff. It was not until voting closed on June 26th that we could just take a breather. Because then for 2 weeks until nominations were announced on July 12th, there was nothing to do. Voting was done. There's no more events. There's nothing you can do. Then nominations were announced on July 12th, and then it started all back up again. Then you're going to more events. You're going out and you're talking to people. You're reaching out on social media. You're trying to be relevant and remind them that you're still here. And now voting started just yesterday on Monday the 13th, and it goes for another 2 weeks. So I'm still not done. It's crazy. And then voting will go for another 2 weeks until August 27th, and then only then, after the 27th, is the campaigning process completely over. There is nothing more you can do. Votes are locked. And then I can just sit back and relax and enjoy it, because I won't find out whether or not I won until September 8th. But it is a long process. So the whole campaigning process for Broken essentially was from March until August of this year.
Oh, yeah. Now, does that get in the way, like, from doing other projects then, because you're so wrapped up in all this whole process of, you know, campaigning?
Yes and no. So I believe if you're really passionate about something, you can make time for for it and whatever else you want to do. And I'm passionate about acting. So acting has always been my number one priority, and whatever I can do to be doing that, I will do. And so Broken was important for us to just get awareness out there. We didn't spend a lot of money on marketing. In fact, we spent almost $0 on marketing because we realized that the ultimate form of marketing would be the Emmy nomination. And
right.
whether we got one, two, or three, that's when people start to take you seriously with what you've put out there. And especially with a topic like mental health and mental illness, that's not something people take lightly. So we did spend a lot of time going to FYC events. And when I say we went to 55, I mean it. We went to one every single night from Monday through Friday. We went to sometimes two or three on the weekends. And then sometimes there were events spread out throughout the weekdays as well. So some days we would be going to two or three events. And there were multiple happening at the same time. So I don't even know how many FYC events were available. We just had access to 55 based off of time constraints. But it was a full-time job, and that's what we treated it as.
That's amazing. It really is amazing.
Yeah, so it didn't just happen. That's the thing. I mean, people think like, oh, wow, like it's so great. Like, you guys got two out of three nominations. Wow, lucky you. It's like, well, no, it wasn't just luck. We really had to work for it, and we put the time and the effort in. That's what it took.
So which was more of the actual work then? What, was it actually doing the acting of this? I mean, and you did an amazing job as your character,
Leah.
Thank you. Or the campaigning? What's the bigger work process?
You know, I don't see acting as work. I was the executive producer on this as well, and that was my first time doing that. That was the work for me because that was the first time I've ever been in that type of environment. But the acting part, that's just fun. That's second nature to me. I love it. And then as far as the campaigning and the networking and going to all these events, that was also kind of fun. And when I say we treat it like a full-time job, we treat it like a job. Then there were some days where it was like, oh, man, I don't want to go. I don't know if this event will be good. And we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. But then we just had to throw all that out the window and just say, I'm just going to go. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to, you know, watch this event and then mingle. And then just have no expectations. And that's really what got us through it, because we met great people at every single event. But the times that we were like, oh, we got to meet five people. We got to meet five new people. That's when it wasn't fun, and that's what made it seem like work.
That's, but it does sound like a very exciting time, though.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The whole entire process, and even now, I mean, I'm still thrilled, and it's still surreal that for the rest of my life I can be called an Emmy nominated actor. It's crazy. It's crazy. Absolutely. Like there are some celebrities who don't even have that title. So that to me is the coolest part of this whole process. So I think I've already won, but it'd be great to get a win, because then I would be an Emmy award-winning actor. But just being an Emmy-nominated actor is a huge win for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, how about like with the whole process of Broken? Like the one thing, like as I went through and watched it, you know, being the fact that it's a short-form story where episodes are, I guess, average like 6 to 8 minutes long, it seemed, you would think it's like kind of a small production, but it's really not. Like, because when they roll the credits, it's like, holy cow, there's a couple dozen people involved in this whole process.
Oh, yeah. On any given day, we had over 25 people on set. And we made it a point to compensate everybody, and that was very important for us. And a lot of them were doing favors for us already and working at significantly discounted rates, because we wanted the best of the best, and we got them. And we shot it like a film. We shot it like an indie feature. And
yeah.
Being able to pay everybody, except for me, I was actually the only person on set besides their unpaid volunteer PAs who did not receive any compensation, but I was totally willing to do it because this was my passion project. We shot 95% of the entire series in my director's dad's house in Norco, California. And inside of his house, we built one entire apartment, a studio apartment, and a therapist office. So we shot the bulk of the series for free in a location that we just had to get permits for. We didn't have to pay. We just gave them food. We gave our dad food and apologized profusely for disrupting their lives for a week. but then you're right. We did have a large crew, because that's what it takes to create something to this caliber. And a lot of people didn't understand what we were doing. before we started, when we were shooting, and then even after. And even now that we have the nominations, they still don't quite get what we did. A lot of people think that when they hear the term short-form series, it's a little web series that you shoot on your iPhone with your friends in your
right.
living room. And I'm not saying that that's
right.
bad. That's not what we were doing. I've done that before with friends. And if you want to create content just to get it out there, I'm a huge proponent of being proactive with your career. So go do it. Like, I've done it too. It's great. It's a great experience, and you don't know what could become of it. But this is not what we were doing. We were operating on a much larger scale because of what we were going for.
Hell, you guys even had craft services there.
Yeah, well, craft services was my mom. So we didn't have to pay craft services. It was just my mom making pancakes and eggs in the morning.
Oh, that's awesome. But it seems like your family was involved, because there was somebody else with your last name that was, I guess, co-producer with you?
Oh, absolutely, yes. So the way that we raised money for this was I first went through family and friends of family, and then I went through my extended network within L.A., because I've been out in L.A. for about 8 years. And I called upon every favor that I could. And then it was actually, you're right, that's my dad, who is my co-executive producer. And he did a lot for me. And that's why I wanted to give him the title of executive producer, because he deserves it. And my parents are not artistically inclined at all, but they've always been so supportive of me and my career. It's very foreign to them. But now it's really cool because I'm bringing them to the Emmys. Like, it's so cool. Like, they're flying out here. I got them tickets, and I want them to experience this with me because, like, they were the ones who would wake up at, like, oh, man, the butt crack of dawn back when I was, like, 5, 6, 7, going to play rehearsals and acting practice, and then they have to drive back and forth and pick me up for every show rehearsal, so I owe them. So this is the start of my redemption, or paying them back for everything that they had to put up with when I was younger.
That's awesome. Well, at least we know they're very supportive of you.
Oh, absolutely. It would be very difficult had my parents from a young age not been supportive. Because when I first got into acting, I was 8 years old, and I just came home from school, and I walked up to them and said, I want to be an actor. Totally out of the blue. No one in my family is an actor, musician, singer, comedian. No one is. So they didn't know what to do with me. But luckily, I had a neighbor next door who was in the drama theater camp, and so they went to his parents, and then the parents gave me information. They signed me up for a summer camp, like a drama thing, and then it was there that the drama coach came up to my parents and said, your child has it. He has it. And that confused them too, because of course we've all heard, like, oh, they have it, but what does it mean?
Sure.
And then he gave my parents a list of agencies, and in Minnesota, the rule at that time, I'm not sure if it's the same, is you can sign with all the agencies across the board, but whoever calls you first for an audition is the one who you have to go with. So right off the bat, I signed with all of them. I started to do commercials, industrial videos, little short films, feature films that they rolled through. I did some print ads, radio work, voiceover, and I was little, and I loved it, and it was a lot of fun, and I continued to do plays all throughout living in Minnesota. And then the only reason I stopped was I was 17 and I moved to California.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah.
So now with Broken, the one thing too, I was curious, like with the episodes, like how did you release them? Did you like do like a weekly thing or?
You know, we thought about that, but I believe that we live in an age now where people want to binge watch. They want to watch it whenever they can. They don't want to wait weekly. Especially because we were not a well-known show. We didn't have recognizable names per se for the large masses. We did have Lee Garlington, who is known within the industry, and her face is recognizable, but people wouldn't necessarily know who she is based off of name alone. And then because we didn't have a studio or a network backing us, too, it would be difficult to engage viewership over the course of weeks. So we released all 6 episodes all at once on Friday, April 13th, because Friday the 13th, that's fun. And we just promoted like that. And that actually helped us during the campaign process, too, because we were able to talk to people saying, hey, go check out all 6 episodes right now.
Right. That's wild. Now, the character itself, I mean, like I said earlier, you did a tremendous job. Like, it's a very emotional character. Like, there was never like a downtime for your character at all. Like there was always some type of rollercoaster ride of emotions you were going through.
Yes. So Liam suffers from schizophrenia, and I had to do a lot of research on that because as an actor, the biggest fear that I have portraying someone with a mental illness is accurately portraying it. You don't want to make fun of it. You don't want to offend anybody. And so I did a lot of research with articles and reading things online and reading books and watching interviews with people who had schizophrenia. But the most helpful thing or most useful thing that as an actor was I listened to a lot of auditory hallucination schizophrenic simulations, and then I also watched a lot of visual schizophrenic hallucination videos on YouTube. And the auditory hallucination simulations were even more helpful than the visual ones because at the start of that simulation, they tell you to put your headphones in and then go about your business. Don't just sit down and listen to it. And so I did. I was in my apartment. I was doing laundry, cleaning, cooking, making food. And then I would just hear all these voices coming at me from all sides, and they were demeaning me. They were attacking me. They were calling me stupid or fat or ugly, and then some were just very robotic and counting. And it was disturbing, but it really got me into the mindset of Liam and how uncomfortable that is to be hearing those voices, because about 90% of Broken is in Liam's head. He's either hallucinating visually or he is hearing voices. So that really prepared me to portray someone accurately with schizophrenia.
Wow. That that's wild.
Yeah.
That wow. I can't even imagine.
It was a trip. There were some days I was not popular on set. We shot a lot of the very, very heavy, emotional, intense scenes all in one day. So for that day, I was in a constant state of just tears streaming down my face, snot coming out of my nose. I looked horrible. I'd be left alone in whatever room was available, whether it was a bathroom, a closet, a bedroom. The lights would be off. I'd be sitting on the floor, rocking back and forth, trying to maintain that state. My director would come in, she'd try to give me notes, and I would just, you know, be nodding along. And it wasn't until afterwards that she was like, man, I feel like I can't talk to you. Like, I feel so bad. I just want to, like, hug you. But that made me laugh because it's like, what? I'm just, like, in the moment. It's totally fine. I'm not actually feeling that way.
Do you think this was the hardest role you've ever done?
I think it was the most challenging. I think this was the one I had to put the most research into. I played a blind character before, so I did the same thing. This was about a year ago, but I did a lot of research on someone who went blind later in life. Because again, if you're an actor and you play a blind person, well, how did they become blind? Were they born with it? Were they afflicted later in life? And that influences the way someone acts and behaves. So depending on what character you're playing, there's a lot of research that goes into it. So I was prepared in that sense. But as far as the emotional toll that was taken out on Liam, yes, this was the most intense process and role that I've done.
Now, how hard was it to, like you were saying, like you'd have to like, kind of stay in character, like you're in the room and you're rocking to keep yourself there. Like, how hard was it to turn it off when you were finally able to turn it off for today?
Oh, I can turn it off. It was a little awkward, or felt a little weird within the first hour of rapping for the day. But then after that, your body just goes into almost like shock, where it's like, holy crap, I've been crying and sobbing all day, but there's nothing left that you can do. And then that's why you just got to laugh about it. But there would be times where after we rapped, I thought I was totally fine walking around, and someone would come up to me and be like, whoa, dude, are you okay? Because I guess I still looked upset or pissed or sad or something.
Well, that all goes to the credit of the Emmy-nominated actor you are now.
Yes. Isn't that crazy? It's so cool.
That is awesome. So, all right, so let's put some plugs out there for you. Where can everybody find you and like you, love you,
absolutely,
follow you? Where can they find
that
Broken?
That would be great. So Broken is online. It is on our personal website and also Vimeo. The link to our website is www.brokentheseries.com. And then I am across all platforms, social media-wise, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. It is at Miles Tagmeyer. And Tagmeyer has a silent T. So it's MILESTAGTMEYER.
Awesome. Well, Miles, thanks so much for doing this. Congratulations again, and I hope you bring that Emmy home.
Thank you so much, Bay. It was really fun talking to you.
You too. Absolutely, man. And I enjoyed the series.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me when someone says that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Take care, man.
You too. Bye.
Bye. All right, welcome back to your radio. Bay Ragney here, and there you go, and there they are. There's our interviews for tonight. I want to thank both of our guests tonight, Mr. Miles Tagmeyer and Naomi Grossman. Fun guests, great people, and they are truly totally driven. So there you go. Make sure you check them out, and make sure you check out their series, like I told you. Control-Alt-Delete and Broken. Check them out. Enjoyed them. So, you know what? For next week, I'm actually thinking about doing a live TDR rock show. Play some music, take some calls, see what's going on out there. Have some musical conversations with people. Let me know if you're interested. Like me, love me, follow me. Hit me up on the world of social media. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Let us know. Tell us. Tell me if you want to rock. TDR style. So, make sure you follow Totally Driven Entertainment, Totally Driven Radio as well, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and make sure you stay totally driven. Until next time, everybody, have a good one. See ya.